So the return of Jesus Christ is the blessed hope of the church, yes? I know there's a lot of, there's different cycles where amillennialists and postmillennialists kind of revive and come to the forefront. I'm a historical premillennialist. I believe in a physical return of Jesus, a rapture of the dead and living in Christ to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and then a 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's a historical premillennialist, which I are. So I just want to say a couple things before we get into Matthew 24. There are no writings in church history separating the return of Jesus Christ from the first resurrection, popularly called the rapture today, until the 19th century. So I want us to think about the return of Christ and not the rapture as a separate event. I want us to see them together, as I think you'll see when we go through this. When we focus on the return of Jesus Christ while reading the scriptures, we no longer have to jump through bizarre doctrinal hoops to fit in a 7-year gap or figure out why the Gentile church leaves but the Jews are left behind. It's really important. In my mind, it's really important. There's kind of two extremes out there. There's one side that says the Gentiles go and the Jews go through the Great Tribulation. There's another group that says God's done with the Jews and he's only dealing with the church. And those two extremes are both, in my opinion, in error. There is one new man in Christ. Jew and Gentile are saved the same way. We all have to be born again. There's no dual covenant, no separate. I've heard people say things like, well, Israel is the Father's bride and the church is Jesus' bride. There's all kinds of stuff that's out there, and it's like, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, he is one, right? Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The Lord our God is one. I spoke in tongues, but I interpreted, so it's okay. Second thing to keep in mind when looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ is to stay centered on Jerusalem. So the Eurocentric view is a distraction. What's happening in Europe? Okay, there's junk happening in Europe. There's junk happening all around the world. This world is just about ready to... We're not supposed to be distracted by Europe. Here's another one that I think is a distraction, trying to find America and Russia in prophecy. Just forget it. They're not mentioned. Neither one existed. The three things always to remember when reading end time prophecy, there's three things you got to remember this, okay? You ready? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You got it. All right. Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2, we'll start there. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple and his disciples. Have you guys read Matthew 23 recently? You know how people say we're not supposed to be offensive, we're not supposed to say anything to upset people, we're supposed to be loving and kind and always, you know, affirm everybody's everything and whatever. And boy, read Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Man, he just punches out. It's a tough chapter. So it's after chapter 23 comes chapter 24, right? So then Jesus went out and departed from the temple after he got done filleting the religious people. And his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Have you ever been in prayer and thought you were informing Jesus about something? No, really. You can't admit that? Please, I don't want to be alone. Well, Lord, you know. This is funny. And his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Hey, did you see this, Jesus? Oh, no, thank you for showing them to me. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, he kind of threw it back at him, didn't he? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So I think this must have come as a big shock to the disciples. They were very enamored and proud of their big temple there. I think it's important to mention that Jesus did not talk about the anything but the buildings of the temple, okay? He didn't talk about retaining walls or a platform or any of that kind of stuff. So the disciples, in asking their questions, are still waiting for him to reveal himself as Messiah to the nation. So they're thinking, when they say the signs of your coming, we'll see the questions in a second here, the signs of your coming, they're thinking he's going to come to Jerusalem one day and go, here I am, the son of David, I'm the Messiah, you guys, I didn't come here to take sides, I came to take over. And that's what they're waiting for, and they're wanting him to drive the Romans out. But that's not what he came the first time to establish a spiritual kingdom. He's coming a second time to establish a physical kingdom that will be spiritual, okay? So when we read their questions about the sign of his coming, we think about it a little differently. We think about it as his return, yes? So that's a difference from then to now. So let's look at the three questions in verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So first question, tell us when these things will be. What things? When the temple is taken down stone by stone. He doesn't really get into that, but he does focus on the second two. And I think that's important to think about, because they're two separate things. So Jerusalem was going to be destroyed and rebuilt, destroyed and rebuilt, destroyed and rebuilt, destroyed and rebuilt. And something's going to have to happen to the current Temple Mount for them to build a temple where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is. Maybe a big earthquake. I don't know. Something. We'll see. Jesus really focuses his response on the sign of his coming being his return, because he knows he's going to be crucified, buried, rise on the third day, and ascend to heaven. Okay, he knows that's in front of him. The disciples don't get it yet. They're still trying to figure out who's going to be on his right hand and his left hand. In fact, at the Last Supper, they get into an argument over who's the greatest. Right? I'm so glad that stuff's recorded about the apostles, because it gives me hope that I can still make it. Have you ever done stuff and you look back and you said, what was I thinking? Not since this morning. Is it fair to say that Jesus' answer to their questions are sufficient, that we don't need to add to or take from? Is that a fair thing? So if we're going to accept Jesus' answer, I don't have time to do this with you unless you want to stay till dinner instead of lunch, but Daniel's and Zechariah's prophecies, especially that came before this time of Jesus' speaking, were in all of the disciples' minds when he gives their answer. So they're things that we should become. If you're not familiar with the prophet Daniel and the prophet Zechariah, may I encourage you to read and reread and reread and reread and reread and just get that into your spirit, all right? The book of Revelation was written about 60 years after this meeting on the hillside of the Mount of Olives. Just one more point on these questions. Again, they knew Micah's prophecy about Jerusalem, the city of David, that it was yet to be completely destroyed, because when Micah prophesied, it was after other times that city of David was wrecked. But there's this cycle. I think God allows cycles in history so that we can get it. So the abomination of desolation occurred in before the time of Christ with Antiochus. I always have a hard time with this. Epiphanes. He was a bad guy. He put up an image of Zeus in the temple. slaughtered pigs on God's altar, and killed the priests. So that fulfilled the abomination of desolation, but then it gets fulfilled again when Hadrian comes along and puts up his own image and the image of Jupiter and does the same thing after the time of Christ. So there's these times when these things occur, but there's coming the Antichrist who will do that for the last time. Okay, so I think when there's these cycles in history, I think the Lord wants us to learn from them. All right? Signs of his coming. So now this the rest of what we're going to, not the whole chapter 24, but the rest of the part of chapter 24 that we're going to look at deals with Jesus' answer to their questions. Okay, so first, he deals with the signs of his coming. And Jesus answered and said to them, here's his answer, right? Take heed that no one deceives you. Why? Because deception is going to be normal. We live in a world today where the information that's coming at us is so unbelievably wrong, you know, and it gets us all agitated. This whole political and religious spirit where people are fighting with each other, they're fighting with each other in politics, churches are fighting with each other. It's the wrong spirit. So we don't want to get into that, but we want the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's one church. It's called Family Worship Center. It's in Paso Robles. No, there's one church. It meets in a lot of different buildings under a lot of different names. You know, does this make sense? And so if somebody has a little different view than I do, I have great friends that are all millennialists. I love them. I just want to love them right back into the truth. There's people that say that all the gifts of the Spirit ceased, you know, when the Apostle John died. Can you imagine the line at his house in the last days of his life of people wanting to be healed? Just a thought. There's people that believe all kinds of stuff, but the thing that matters to me is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Do you believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Is there only one way to the Father? Let's start there, you know. And then our formulas of baptism and all the kind of stuff that we get worked up about, you know, systems, systems of theology. I like biblical theology. All these doctrines that are named after people, that sounds like doctrines of men, yes? So I just like to keep things a little more simple. And again, it's back to Jesus meant what he said and said what he meant. I didn't even get through the first verse, did I? Okay, so, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. I mean, that's kind of troubling, but see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That doesn't sound good, but it's there. Whenever Jesus says, don't be troubled, trouble's coming. Verse 10, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Boy, oh boy. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end shall come. So there's some signs that are given here. Deception, which is mentioned twice, because that's going to be, I don't know, everywhere. Does it feel like that today? One group says one thing, another group says another thing, and they say it real passionately. I think the quote is attributed to Adolf Hitler, that if you tell a lie and if you repeat it often enough, the people will believe it. What was his guy? Who was his propaganda guy? Goebbels? Goebbels? Joseph Goebbels? He only wishes he could be CNN, MSNBC, CBS, and all the others. Okay. many will come in my name and say I am Christ. I want to take a little different take than some of what I've heard about this. They're not coming and saying they're Jesus. They're not coming and saying they're Jesus' return. And as some people present it that way, but that's, I think the wording is specific and needs to be heard. Many will come in my name and say, I am Christ. And Christ means anointed one. And there's so many people out there today saying, I'm an anointed one. And they come in his name. And I really, I don't know how, again, I'm struggling a little bit because I don't want to be mean or critical or nasty, but I'm really concerned across the spectrum of the body of Christ that there are so many people that are teaching about an anointing and about a power that comes into us that makes us great and diminishes the greatness of God. And I want to say, let's flip that. God is great, we're his servants, and let's just keep that, because I've got all this authority and I've got all this anointing and I say this and it happens, and I was like, really, just stop. What is God saying? Say what he's saying, good things will happen. It's not about us, it's about him, and it's just a big concern of mine. So I think we're seeing that today. I think we're seeing people talk about how great their power is and their anointing and all this stuff. And I just want to say, he's great. Period. I like what Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay, I like Paul. Famines, COVID-19, and earthquakes. Disease X. We're living through these times, right? There's times where you see famines in different parts of the world. We just had a global pandemic. This is just me being goofy. When Jesus declared to the disciples that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, you know that Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. He was standing in front of a place they called the gate of hell in Caesarea Philippi. There's a big grotto where they perform human sacrifice there for centuries. That place was called the gate of hell. And the owner or the false deity of that gate, his name was Pan. Pandemic, pandemonium, panic. They all come from Pan. He doesn't prevail against us. We're not going to panic. We don't have to participate in the pandemic. I mean, the sickness is going to go. It's going to do what it does. But does this make sense? Because it's to get us focused on something that's coming that's going to overwhelm us. Don't be troubled. Jesus said, don't be troubled. I've had COVID 3 times. I don't know if I'm done with it. I hope I am. But does this make sense? It's not going to run my life. I'm not going to run around like a chicken with his head cut off, which now I get, but because we have chickens. But don't be troubled. I'll just leave it there. Don't. These things are going to happen. There's going to be big earthquakes. There's recently been some pretty good shakes. We had a little shake about 6 in the morning, what, Thursday, Wednesday? Now he says, these are just the beginning of sorrows. Then another sign is delivered to tribulation and death for Jesus' namesake. You know, So I grew up in this country. I grew up in California. I was born in Sacramento. I've always been in California. I've traveled to all these places that you see hanging on the walls, but I love it here. People say, you got to get out of California. I go, why? It's perfect. Why would I go? No offense. I like it here. I don't like everything that's happening, but I like it here. And again, being raised here and we've had a great life. I hope it continues. That's my plan anyways. But when Jesus or the disciples talk about persecution, suffering, count it all joy, when you encounter various temptations and trials, I'm like, what is the matter with you? But that's a part of serving the Lord. I want to know his power, but I'm not so excited about the fellowship of his sufferings. But we've got to come back to a biblical balance and go, you know, that's possibly going to be part of it for us, but hopefully not in Paso Robles at least. Okay. Another sign is betrayal, hatred, apostasy through offense and hatred. Boy, have you heard people come out lately? I mean, well-known people come out and say, I denounce Christ, there's no God, the church and Christianity. I mean, these are famous musicians, pastors, and different ones that are coming out and saying, it's all fake, it's all... Somehow they got an offense in their heart and it derailed them. And I don't want to join that group. Okay? So if this stuff is bothering you, it bothers me, okay? But this Jesus is giving us his answer. Another sign is lawlessness and lovelessness, because the lawlessness, the love of many will go cold. Lawlessness. Anyway. You know, oh, you're a real estate guy and you overvalued your property, so we're going to take all your money. Don't get mad at me. Well, I mean, it's crazy what's going on. It's nutso. I'm going to stop. Here's a sign that we don't often talk about. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached everywhere. That's where our focus needs to be, okay? So again, these signs are difficult to think about because they're truly awful. And yet, I think they can be easily seen today. We are not told we will escape. We are exhorted to endure until the end. Every church in the book of Revelation, he who endures till the end, he who overcomes... That's the message to the church, not sit at home and wait for the rapture. He who endures to the end. What are we doing to the end? We're proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. We're out and we're engaged. We're involved. We're affecting those around us. Amen? And then when he comes back, and if we get caught doing what he called us to do, we go up. That's what I want. That's what I want for all of us. Okay, let's continue. The Great Tribulation, therefore, verses 15 through 28, Matthew 24, sorry. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, why is Jesus quoting Daniel the prophet? Didn't it already happen with Antiochus? Yeah, it did happen with Antiochus. It's going to happen again. It'll happen with Hadrian. Jesus knows this already, and it's going to happen one last time. Okay? So, therefore, when you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where? In the holy place, in the temple. This is so clear. Whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Where? Judea. Remember? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Okay. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back and get his clothes. Man, if you're out in the field and you need to go get your clothes, I don't know what's going on, but let's just let that one go. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. Where? In Judea. Okay. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Where? In Judea. Just saying. Okay. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor now ever shall be. Now I want to stop there a second. All that horrible stuff we read about signs coming is the beginning of sorrows. Now it just boom. It's worse. Don't worry, there's good news at the end, but this is rough. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you before, in other words, this is a warning. The deception... We're seeing deception right now, but deception's coming at a level that is going to be off the chain. I mean, it's going to be unreal. I saw something the other day where the AI that can, this is great, my voice is out on the internet. They can make me say anything they want. They can take a sample of my voice and then make me say whatever they want. Post it on our webpage and say, look what this guy's teaching. I mean, I'm goofy enough without that. I mean, but you understand that the level of deception that's coming on the world in the days ahead is we have got to stay close to the Lord and discern in the Spirit, because you're not going to be able to believe what your eyes see, because they can create any image, they can create anybody saying anything, they can do whatever they want to get their agenda across, and that's part of what's going to happen. So we've got to stay close to the Lord. I don't have my phone with me. It's in my bag, but I just want to, I was going to hold up my phone, but imagine I'm holding my phone up and quoting the verse, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Okay, just let it go. There's a lot of deception that's going to come through your devices. I'm not saying the phone is Satan's device. He just uses it. Okay. It's actually mine. I got to say this, in the 70s, if you told me I'd spend $500 for a phone, I'd said, you're nuts. I've done it. It was on sale. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Where? Again, Judea, right? So if you say desert in California, that's big. That's most of it. But so he's not talking about California. He's not talking about Europe. He's not talking about, he's talking about Judea. I know I'm being redundant, but it's so important, because what we do is we put it into our setting and then we come up with funny ideas. And say, look, he's in the desert, don't go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, don't believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. If you want me to explain that last verse, I almost left it off because I have no idea what it means. It says eagles in our translations. It probably should be vultures. But there's going to be, I think what it means is there's going to be a horrific battle and there's going to be a lot of dead bodies. And I'm sorry to say all that, but that's okay. I might have an idea what it means, but so. Have you ever gone outside in a lightning storm? And I mean, we don't have them that much here, but I've been in parts of the world where they have real lightning storms. Yeah, real lightning storms in Indiana. And I remember we were in Taiwan during a typhoon. That was rain and lightning. There was cars and pigs floating down the street. It was horrible. But when that lightning flashed, no one said, oh, did you see that? And when it comes to the return of Jesus, no one's going to say, oh, did you see that? All right, so Jesus, Daniel, Paul, and John, who wrote Revelation, all agree in the midst of the 70th week, the last week of fallen mankind's history on earth, the abomination of desolation will be revealed. The image of the beast will be set up in the third temple. Once this happens, there's still 42 months of great tribulation. Yeah. Let those who are in Judea flee, not Pastor Robles. So if you see the abomination of desolation on the news and on TV someday, if that happens in our lifetime, don't go running to Parkfield. I'm just saying. That part is not for us, okay? So context, 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 Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. No one would survive if those days were not shortened, Jesus said, but for the elect's sake, they will be kept within 42 months. So I'm not going to engage in a thing about the elect right now, but when you read in the New Testament about the elect, it clearly points to the church. So we're here, okay? We're called the elect in so many passages, and people like to call us the elect, but then not there. Well, that's a different elect. All right. So in the midst of all this trauma, false Christ, false anointed ones, false prophets will be performing lying signs and wonders. In the last 42 months, miracles are going to be the ante to get into the end times poker game. There's going to be real signs and wonders. There's going to be an amazing move of the Spirit. God's going to be saving a lot of people. Tribulation saints, some people call them. But there's also going to be lying signs and wonders. So if you see a miracle, it doesn't mean it's from God. Is that fair? I think those things are already happening. Again, I've been in parts of the world where that's happening. I've met people that were healed by going to witch doctors and different things. And they were sitting in church and causing all kinds of trouble in the church because they got something along with the healing from the witch doctor that they didn't want, but it was there. I heard something the other day that made me laugh. We've seen just great things, and especially in Africa. I saw a lot in Nepal too, but Africa, black people express themselves so freely and openly. It's just really fun. But we had a meeting where God just released an anointing and just the enemy was just driven out. People were delivered just without all this laying on of hands. And this, I heard this one guy say this last week. It cracked me up. He goes, the old days of ministering one-on-one to demon-possessed people where you ask the demon, what's your name and how long have you been in this person? My name's Carl. I like puppies, candy. In vampire movies. Come out. I just want to see the Spirit of God move and just push that, just set people free, heal people, deliver people. That's more fun because then nobody can say, look what I did, or we can just say, look what Jesus did. All right, I'm getting to the end here. Ooh, I've been talking a long time, sorry. 29, verses 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, excuse me, what did you say, Pastor? Let me say it again. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will be gathered together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Immediately after what? After the tribulation of those days, Jesus is going to come and he's going to release all these angels and they're going to gather. And we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I wish when somebody did an end time movie, they would show it this way. I don't care about seeing some lady sitting on an airplane going, my husband was here, but all that's left are his clothes. I mean, that drives me crazy. You guys have seen the movie, right? It's a secret event. No, when Jesus comes back, like lightning flashing, it's all the nations, all the tribes, everyone's going to see it. It's not going to be as... There's going to be this trumpet blast. Jesus is coming and gathering us to himself. That I'm accepting Jesus' answer, not Hal Lindsey. I love Hal Lindsey, but... The sun will be darkened. And I'm assuming this is the Jerusalem perspective. You know, we had a eclipse, you know, that started in Oregon, went across the country. Darkness covered the country. I wonder if that was a symbol or a sign. Anyways, it's going to happen in Jerusalem. He's still giving us some signs. The sign of the Son of Man, the skies are going to split open. There's going to be a trumpet. The archangel's going to shout, and Jesus is coming back. I read the end of the book. We win. Amen. The sign of the Son of Man will appear, right? When Jesus returns, not everybody's going to see it. That's not what Jesus said. Angels are going to come and escort us into his presence in the air. How cool is that? Do you wish they would show that in the movie, this glorious return of the Lord Jesus? The sky split open. There's this trumpet that everyone hears, and these angels go out and gather us up. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain with him, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. How are we going to do that? I don't know. I just know I'm going to have a new body when that happens.
Yes.
This one, man, I'm ready to trade it in. That is something to get excited. When you're older, it's really exciting. When you're younger, this is a great body, yeah. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. This is Paul in 2 Thessalonians 4:16. I just want to see if he agrees with Jesus. It seems like he does, doesn't it? For the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That is so neat. We don't have to take a plane. We just go. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. From that point, when the rapture occurs, we're going to be with the Lord throughout eternity.
Yes.
Can't wait. Therefore, terrify one another with these words. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what Paul said, okay? Use the message of the second coming to scare people into saying a prayer with you, and then they're going to go to heaven. I don't know. I think we've got to stop bypassing the conviction of sin. We need the fear of the Lord. We need the conviction of sin to come to tell us that we need to repent. And I really needed that in 1980, and I still need it today. You guys messed up since you got saved? Even a little bit? Once? No, the rest of you guys? I'm the only... Me and Gary? What's... Revelation 19, the Apostle John wrote this, not Paul, just saying. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 6. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with the robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. Let me see, who could that be? And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads on the winepress of the fierceness, the wrath of God, Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when we see the return of Jesus happening, it's not a secret. It happens right out there in the open. We're caught up to meet him in the air. After we're caught up to meet him in the air, the wrath of God comes. We are not appointed unto wrath. That's good news. We get to go up before the wrath comes. And it should be motivating to us, not just for ourselves, but to say to other people that we know and care about, I don't want you to go through that. Okay? So again, the abomination of desolation, according to Daniel and Jesus, takes place in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus said their Jerusalem and temple would be destroyed, so it's going to be rebuilt at some point, and the fulfillment of all this that he prophesied is going to happen just as he said. Not kind of, not sort of, not maybe, not whatever. It's just going to happen just the way he said. And with the Jews, and especially parliamentarians and the president talking about rebuilding the third temple, I'd say it's time to pay attention because the hour grows late. I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime. I don't even know how much that is. Does that make sense? I don't know how I could be here a long time and not see it. I could be here a short time and see it. I don't know exactly when he's coming. People say, when do you think the Lord's coming? When he's ready? When the Father says, go. I know the Great Tribulation lasts 42 months, not 7 years. There's a seven-year tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, but the kickoff is when the Antichrist, a politician, stands up and declares himself to be God. Again, a politician full of demons declaring himself to be God is not exactly rare. Okay. After the tribulation of those days, there will be those specific signs that he mentioned. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It says heavens, plural, and I think it's talking about first, second, and third heaven, that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. This earth will be shaken. The church is going to be, I think the church is being shaken right now. It's time to shake out on the right side of things. If there's something, if there's a secret, if there's a thing that's got you hooked that you know shouldn't be there, just give it to Jesus this morning. Don't fool with it anymore because we all get distracted. I'm not really that worked up about what has distracted you. I'm just saying don't get distracted anymore. Just give it to the Lord. For some people, it may be a little more severe and some people less. But no matter whether it's a minor or a major distraction, just go, you know what, Jesus, I heard what the guy said, with the funny guy with the fatigue. I heard what he said today, and I don't want to stay in this anymore. I want to surrender everything to you. Amen? So the finale of his answer is Jesus is going to appear and gather us to himself. Oh, man. That's going to be great. Have you ever thought, I wish I knew when it was coming? And then you thought better of it and thought, mm-hmm. It's good that he doesn't show us that. But we can see the signs, right? The signs are out there. They're out there. So, again, we win. That's the good news. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that even these parts of your word they really are challenging to us and to the great lives we've lived in these United States of America. And we say first and foremost, Father, through your love and through your goodness, pour out the gift of repentance on these United States of America and draw us back to yourself. Lord, we don't believe there's any answer for this nation outside of you. Raise up a Jonah. Raise up true prophets that will call this nation back to yourself instead of trying to predict who's going to win the next election. Lord, we need you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Father, if there's anything that I've said that touches anyone's heart here this morning, I ask in the name of Jesus that if there's something even right now, it's just like a sword just cutting and saying, let this go, son or daughter. Lord, that everyone here will just let go of the things that are not of you and just embrace you fully in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you so much. We wish we could say we love you because we're good people, but no, we love you because you first loved us. And Lord, that the transformation of our lives from the first Adam to the last Adam to fallen to new creations in Christ Jesus, we just want to be walking in newness of life, not walking the fence. It's too dangerous. Lord, bless everyone here and bless their week. And again, bless the Mankey's trip to Japan. Just let it be a great time, filled with divine appointments and blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.